As we enter into the new year, there are lots of unknowns sitting before us. Will the kids go back to school on Wednesday and stay in school? How long will that last? Will I get COVID in the year ahead? Are there troubles from 2021 that will carry over into 2022 with us? And how do we as people of faith deal with these sorts of uncertainties? To answer that question this morning, I've actually invited a guest speaker to come and share with us, somebody who knows a thing or two about walking with God in into the unknown, and that is Jesus's father, Joseph. He has made the jump 2,000 years forward into the future, and he is going to join us to share with us this morning about walking with God into the unknown. So let me just see if he's ready here. Good morning. Good morning. I'm so glad to be with you here this morning. It is great to be here. Boy, the technology that you people have, we always used to think that writing on paper was impressive. But boy, this, wow. Well, I'm not here to talk to you about technology this morning. I am here to talk with you about this theme of walking with God in uncertain times. Pastor Graham has asked me to come and share with you. That's a great topic. I cannot tell you the number of times that I have just had no idea what was going on. I mean, you try raising the Son of God. But I'll tell you, every time God knew what was going on, and so by faith, we made it through. And I'll tell you, in those uncertain times, there were always two scripture verses running through my head, two passages of scripture, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, and Micah 6, 8. You know, from a very early age, my mother and father taught me these verses, and they have just stuck with me and given me so much to draw on in difficult times. Maybe you know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. And then Micah 6, 8, he has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. In my opinion, those two passages capture how we can walk as people of faith in uncertain times. But to fill that out a little bit, let me put it to you like this. I'm going to give you two examples from my life where I tried to apply those realities. First, when Mary got pregnant unexpectedly, and second, traveling, fleeing really to Egypt. So first, the whole pregnancy thing. It all started one day. I was working in my father's carpentry shop. A neighbor came in with a broken table leg, and he left it with me to fix it. I did the repair, and then I went back to his house to drop it off, and there she was, Mary, collecting firewood, his daughter. You know, I had seen her many times before. She was known in the village as someone who was caring and compassionate, a good and godly girl. But in that moment, I just knew that we were bound to be together. And so we did the usual courtship ritual things, and before long, we were engaged to be married. But then, disaster. Faithful Mary was pregnant. My pure, sweet girl had played the harlot. I was shocked, heartbroken. I didn't know what to do. I mean, it was so out of character, so out of the blue. I didn't know what to do. And that's where Micah 6, 8 came in, right? I didn't know what to do, but what did Micah say? Act justly. Okay, well, I knew what I should do. I mean, the Greeks, the Romans, my people, the Hebrews, we knew what to do with people like this. I mean, Deuteronomy 22 says you put someone like this to death. And being a righteous man myself, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to act justly. But I also wanted to act with mercy, to do it in a meaningful way, right? Act justly in a merciful way. So I considered my options. How can I do this? How can I avoid exposing her to public disgrace while not making it appear like I approved of what she had done? Well, in the end, I settled on divorce. I could give her a letter of divorce and quietly, you know, let her go her way, spare her life. So that's what I decided that I would do. But then one night, as I was sleeping, this angel appeared. The angel of the Lord appeared to me and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for what is in her is conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And all of a sudden, it made sense. Faithful Mary had not been unfaithful. Her faithfulness had actually led her to put herself at God's disposal, at his service, no matter the cost. She was the one who would give birth to the virgin that Isaiah had talked about. She was to carry the Messiah who would save us from our sin. It all made sense. But wait, did it really make sense? I mean, there's no precedent for this. No virgin has ever given birth, and generally speaking, guys, if your girlfriend gets pregnant unexpectedly, maybe find a different girlfriend. In this case, did it make sense? I mean, the angel spoke to me in a dream. Angel Gabriel appeared to Mary. The promises of a Davidic king were on the books in our Holy Scriptures, and Mary and I were both in David's line. Could I trust that this was legit? Well, this is where Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 kicked in, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. I mean, this made no sense to me, but Yahweh is all-knowing and all-powerful and all-good, and he knows what he's doing. He has given us clear direction here, and so it made sense for us to trust him with our lives. We acknowledged him. We put him first, and he made our paths straight. You know, I would never have imagined that this would be the case, but 9 months later, here we were in Bethlehem, in the city of David, surrounded by animals and shepherds, and Mary gives birth to the son, the newborn king, and we did name him Jesus, just as the angel had said. I acted justly. I loved mercy. I walked humbly with God. I leaned not on my own understanding and trusted Yahweh with all my heart, and now it turned out. I was now the adoptive father of the Savior of the world. God knows what he's doing, even when we don't. Now, I'd like to say that that was the end of the uncertainties for me, but that's just not life, is it? We weren't sure if maybe the Messiah should grow up in the city of David, so we rented a room in Bethlehem. It wasn't much, but it was enough for our little family. The most remarkable thing, though, for 2 years every night, this star shone above our house. I wondered what it meant. I mean, there is this line in Numbers, a star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel. I kept mulling that over in my head. But then one day, out of the blue, these foreign dignitaries appeared at the door. Magi. Imagine that. Gentile philosophers came down and knelt before Jesus. They'd been following the star for months. They'd been tracking the course to find the king who lay beneath it. And after stopping in Jerusalem, they came here. They brought these lavish gifts, gifts fit for a king, frankincense and myrrh and gold. But that wasn't all they brought. The very night that they left, That same angel appeared to me yet again and said that Herod was looking for our child to kill him. The wise men had inadvertently alerted the king to Jesus' presence. And now he had to flee. Get up, the angel said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for you are in danger. Talk about uncertainty. Waking up in the middle of the night, grabbing your newborn child and wife, running for life in a foreign land, it turned our lives upside down. The adrenaline alone made me nauseous for hours on end. I would have liked to act justly, but we were the ones being pursued unjustly. I would have liked to be shown mercy, but they were clearly not going to show mercy to us, so all we could do was walk. Run, I guess, humbly with our God. Trusting in him, leaning not on our own understanding. I'll tell you, those days when we fled into Egypt trying to find food and shelter and water every day, it was a struggle. We wondered if we would make it through. But Mary and I decided to rely on the Lord, to lean on his purposes. We chose in the midst of that struggle to see God at work in it rather than being discouraged by the struggle itself. And I'll tell you, as we relied on God, he showed himself to be faithful. You know, those lavish gifts that the wise men brought to us, those gifts funded our escape. We hadn't brought much from Galilee. We didn't think we'd be gone that long. But their gifts gave us a treasure to draw from. You know, we didn't know it at the time, but there was, we thought we were heading into an entirely foreign land, but in Egypt, there was already a well-established Jewish community there. When we arrived, we discovered that there were people who loved and served Yahweh just as we did. We didn't know that, but God did. He knew what he was doing, and so as we leaned on him, he led the way. And his way was best. God knew what he was doing. He deserved our trust. So that's my story. That's my turn at living out Proverbs 3 and Micah 6. What's yours? What lies ahead for you? What challenges lay in your path this new year? What struggles do you anticipate? What bad habits do you need to break? And what good habits do you need to pick up? Most importantly, what is God calling you to do this year? God has made you just the way he wants you, put you right in the place where he wants you, to work through you. Will you partner with him in doing that? Take hold of what God is calling you to do in 2022. And when you are not sure what you should do, well, remember Micah 6:8. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with God. You can't go wrong with that. And if you're facing an unknown situation, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Let's pray. Lord, it's one thing to think about scripture in the abstract. It's another thing, I think, to see it lived out. And Lord, we admit that in hindsight, it is a lot easier to understand why it makes sense to act justly, love mercy, and walk with you, or to trust in you with all our hearts. We can look back at Joseph. We can look back at his decisions. We can look back on our own lives and see how you have worked in miraculous ways. We didn't know what was going on then. You did. You helped us through it. For what lies ahead now, Lord, help us through it. And we pray that you would give us the reliance upon you, the peace and patience to be able to trust you with all our heart. Give us wisdom, Lord. We know in this world that not everything is black and white and clear. You know, we want to live faithfully. We want to apply ourselves to living for your glory. Help us to do that. Give us wisdom where to act justly. Give us insight into who to love and how to love them. And Lord, I pray that you would make our paths straight. Thank you for being with us in the year ahead. Lord, make us ever present, ever aware of your presence with us. We pray in Jesus' name.